It's good to see each one gathered this morning. You're grateful. I hope we all are grateful for the opportunity to worship our God, to sing songs of praise, and study from His Word. May our minds be focused upon those things as we engage in our activities this morning as an assembly of God's people. And may we be drawn closer to God. We need to learn to be satisfied. We like to look at things and say, that's pretty, or that's nice, or that's something I would like to have. Or that's something I would like to see happen. And we begin to look at those things more longingly, more desirously, and they begin sometimes, if we're not careful, to overtake us. And we become discontent. We become dissatisfied with our condition in life. Maybe it's something in our house that we don't particularly like anymore. And we get focused on, I've got to get that changed. Maybe it's some kind of vehicle. It's notable that when one person in a group gets a new vehicle, other persons in the group also start looking at new vehicles. In fact, I've been in congregations where one person got a new vehicle and just about the whole congregation traded cars by the end of that same year because we see, well, that's better than what I have. We need to learn to be satisfied with what we have and where we are. And that's what we want to talk about this morning as Paul tells the Philippian brethren that he had learned, no matter what was going on in his life, no matter what was happening, no matter what he had or what was available to him, he had learned to be content. And so we want to talk about that a little bit this morning because I think it is something that we need to consider on a regular basis, for we are surrounded by a society that is unsatisfied, wanting change, wanting things different, wanting more, or sometimes even wanting less. And they go to extremes in order to satisfy those things. So understand, this lesson is not so much about the acquiring of things and how bad that is. It is about the attitude we have toward what we have, because it can go the opposite direction. And we can look and say, I've got all this, I need to get rid of everything. And so I start working on getting rid of everything because we want to change the station of our life. We want to change the circumstances in which we live. And it's something we need to be careful of. Especially as children of God, we need to learn to be content. Now, as we start talking about these things, I want to make mention that there are some things about which we do need to have concerns. We need to constantly be making adjustments. We cannot be content if there is sin and error in our lives. Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." Paul says, if you've got sin in your life, you can't be content with that. You need to get rid of it. You need to clear that out of your life. And you need to remove those things that would cause you to turn to those sins. We need to get rid of its passions. And we need to make sure that we're following God's Word and not man's Word. We can't be satisfied with what I want or what some other human organization wants. For Christ said to them in Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And I think inheriting that statement and the things we have seen of the Christ in our studies in the book of John on Wednesday evening, We need to recognize that we need to be careful that we're not just doing things because that's what we have decided we're supposed to do. We need to be able to find authority for what we do. We need to go back to the Word of God and use it to determine our actions, whether we're talking about in worship or we're talking about in our daily life. We need to go back. And a little aside here, that's why we're doing several lessons on the topic of authority over the last few months, and we're going to continue that. In fact, the focus is going to shift just a little bit. We're going to go and talk about the Godhead in regards to authority. That means we're going to talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. In fact, I may start with the Holy Spirit and some things regarding that, because He's the one we don't talk about as much. But in light of authority, we need to get our authority for everything we do from God. So we can't be content with doing things the way we've always done them just because we've always done them that way. We need to make sure they're in accordance with God's will and they are accomplishing God's purpose. It doesn't mean we necessarily have to change just to change. In fact, we shouldn't do that. But we can't be content just because that's the way it's always. We can't be content with our ideas and our thoughts. We can't be content with sin. But we do need to learn to be content with the things that we have. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Paul even further in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 20 tells us each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Don't seek to change your condition. And we'll talk about these a little more as we go through the lesson. But as Paul said here, we need to learn in whatever situation we are to be content. Or whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. The old King James renders that. My mom used to use that when somebody would ask her, well, how do you handle moving to all these different places with Jerry as a preacher? You have to just uproot yourself and go and move off somewhere else and do this. She said, I'm like Paul. I learn whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. Of course, Paul wasn't talking about states. He was talking about condition, whatever situation he was in. In fact, he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. As long as we have the needs of our body. And of course that takes us back and puts us in mind of the Sermon on the Mount and some of the things we studied there in Matthew chapter 6. And we'll look at Luke's account of that a little later on in the lesson, but basically Jesus said, don't even worry about those things. If you're serving God, don't let those things get in your way. We need to learn to be satisfied with how things are and to be satisfied with God's way. One of the things that comes to mind when I think about that is Simon in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. And of course, Simon, we know him better as Peter. They'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything. Jesus come up and said, put your net down on the other side of the ship. And Simon's response was, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Peter had absolutely nothing that would indicate that they were going to be better off putting their nets down now on the other side of the ship than they had been all night long. But he was content with the word of God. And I think that's one of the key things that we need to grasp in this idea of we need to be content. We need to be satisfied with God's way and what God has told us. We need to be satisfied with the station in life that we have and do our best with that. Now, when we start talking about being content, we recognize that the opposite of that, of course, is being discontent. And there are some signs that we are discontent. That we are not satisfied with how things are going. You know, I wasn't supposed to see that one yet. I'm supposed to be on this one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, we must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. And if we go back a few chapters in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. I think maybe one of the translation versions renders it murmuring and complaining. We need to recognize that discontent is demonstrated by the fact that we're complaining about things all the time. We understand that. And I think that's one of the signs that we as individuals need to look at in ourselves. It's real easy for us to see other people complain. We hear other people's complaints. It's like we got a radar for complaints. Whether we want it or not, we understand we can hear people complaining about things. But we need to hear ourselves complaining about things so we can stop it. We need to be careful about complaining about our situation in life, because we need to learn to be satisfied. Does that mean we can't work to better ourselves? No, it does not. But it means that we can't let this idea of, I am so terrible, oh woe is me, so horrible is my situation that I just can't do anything. We can't let that get in the way of our serving God. And let me mention here, I'm not talking about those who have some medical situations that cause them to have depression. I'm talking about people who just look at their daily life and I just can't do this anymore. I don't like the way these things are going, and just constantly moaning and groaning and complaining. I don't make enough money. I don't make as much as they make, and therefore somebody's against me. Somebody's causing me trouble. My house is not as pretty as somebody else's house is. My football team doesn't win as often as somebody else's does. I'll throw that out there just in case. When we're moaning and groaning and complaining about things in our lives, we're not content. And we need to be able to pick up on that. We need to be able to recognize that. When we're, here's a word you don't hear very often, when we're fretting, or when we are anxious, we need to recognize that as a sign of discontent. The Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 19, fret not yourself because of evildoers, and do not be envious of the wicked. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, to add anxiety in there, because the two were very closely associated with one another, Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. We shouldn't be fretting about how the evil people are getting rich and we're staying poor, or how they're getting their way and we're not getting our way. Those are not things that we're to be concerned about. When we start fretting about the evildoer, and we become envious of the wicked, we're discontent. We're not satisfied with our life. And we need to be careful of that, because that discontent can distract us from serving God as we ought. Just like anxiety over the basics of life. Now, nowhere in these scriptures is God or the inspired writers telling us that we shouldn't go buy groceries every week. But the point is, let's don't get those things ahead of what's really important. Let's recognize that no matter what condition we may be in, God can use us in His service. We can help His cause, and we can grow as Christians, and we can get through this life, because that's all we have to do, is get through this life. I'm afraid all too often some of us have fallen into the trap of he who has the most toys wins. We need to be careful that we're not moaning, groaning, fretting, and anxious overly concerned about the fact that we're not advancing as fast as the wicked do. Or we don't have as much as we really want to have. We need to learn to be satisfied with where we are. Paul said, whether I'm in want or I'm in plenty, abound or need, learn to be content in whatsoever station I am. And maybe I should add this. We're in the top percents of folks who have stuff. When we start looking at the world around us, we're in the top percents. We're in the percentage that only has one digit in it. We're not the 1%. But we're beyond the 10% in the world as far as having our needs taken care of. Most of us have well beyond what we need to get by each and every day. And so it does us no good to be worried and fretting, anxious over those things, or murmuring and complaining because somebody else has more of this particular thing than I do. I suspect most of us had at least three different things to choose from to wear to services today. In fact, I suspect most of us had a lot more than three because I've seen y'all in more than three different outfits. We have plenty. So why would we be anxious about those things? Why would we let those things overwhelm our minds and our hearts? And we need to be careful of fear also, because fear demonstrates a discontent. Jesus told his apostles in John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We should not fear what man can do to us because God is on our side. We should not fear that we're going to lose our life, because we are on God's side. We need to learn to be content, to be satisfied with what we have. Now, when we are content, that also is demonstrated. Now we go to this slide. Note some of the things that Scripture talks to us about that illustrates that we are content. And one of the first ones I want us to look at is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Notice what the Hebrew writer says there. He says, you have limited your desires to what you have. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. You have set the boundaries at where things are, instead of constantly having something that you're having to reach for. Being satisfied and limiting our desires by what we already have. I have 5 white shirts. I don't need 10. If I had 3 white shirts, I could be satisfied with that. This is a problem that we have, especially in this country, it seems. For our society focus, our mantra, if you will, is go get all you can. But our mantra as Christians needs to be, I have what I need. Let me give all I can to God. You see, our reaching needs to be in serving God and learning about God and being with Him. Our desires, when we are content, our desires are limited by what we have, and we have ease of mind. We have that peace that Jesus talks about. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That peace that He left with them, not the peace of the world, but the peace that keeps our hearts from being troubled or afraid in regards to anything. We don't worry about what could happen. Doesn't mean we don't prepare for possibilities, but we don't let that overwhelm our focus in life. It doesn't take much looking around nowadays, especially if you connected to the internet and in any of those things, to find people that their whole focus in life is gathering up enough stuff so that if the power goes out, they're going to be able to survive in their bunker underground for the next 10 years. And that's not really an exaggeration, by the way. That's one of the numbers actually put out by some of these folks. Or they've got enough food hidden in their house that they can survive in their house for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. Nothing wrong with having some extra just in case a storm comes through or the power goes out. But when that becomes our whole focus in life, and of course, that can be applied to any number of things. There are those that their entire focus in life is they are wanting to make sure that they have more than enough to get them through any emergency that might come up. Sometimes it's a retirement plan or savings accounts, CDs. Sometimes it's a house. Sometimes it's land and property. We need to be careful. When we have contentment, we don't have those fears. We have an ease of mind. And folks, our life will be simpler. Our life will be calmer when we don't have these worries and concerns on our mind at all times. And like the Apostle Paul, the person who is content has learned to control himself. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. Remember, whether it's much or little. Paul said, I've learned to control myself. To keep myself in check so that I don't start reaching beyond and get concerned about those things. We need to learn to be content. And if we are content, part of demonstrating our contentment is a willingness to use what we have and use where we are to do what we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 17. Now, there's a lot of things being talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There's some things regarding marriage and other situations. And Paul is coming to a close in these things and drawing them down and making some final points. And he's talked about those who are slaves. He's talked about those who are in various different situations. And he's dealing with circumcision as well, as he has to do in most of his letters. But beginning in verse 17, Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he was called in the Lord as a bondservant, as a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he was free when called as a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price, do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain there with God. Paul said you need to start where you are. Don't seek to change those things. You work for God in the condition, in the situation in life that you are. We need to learn to be satisfied with our lot in life, to be content, and then have a willingness, and I think contentment will bring about this willingness to start from where I'm at to do whatever I can for God. That means I may be limited in what I can do for God because of my station in life, but because I am content with where I am, I will do what I can. And I think this is a good bit of what's being taught in the parable of the talents. We remember the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. We're not going to go read verse 16 through 30. I think we can go through it and we refresh our minds. The master was leaving. And he distributed some things to some of his servants. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, to another he gave one. And the one who had five talents took those five talents and he went out and he made five more talents. The one who had two talents, he didn't sit back and say, well, he didn't give me five talents. I can't do anything with these two. No, he took those two and he went and he made two more. And then the guy who got one talent took his and hid it in the ground. When the master came back, he said, here's what you gave me. You didn't give me enough for me to be able to do anything with it. You didn't give me a lot. I don't know exactly what was in his mind, but the point was, here's what you gave me. I'm going to give it back to you. I didn't do anything with it. And what happened to that servant is he was cast out. And what he had was taken and given to the one who had five. Because the one who had five showed that he was satisfied with what he had and he would work from that point to do more for his master. Same thing with the one who had two. We need to learn to be content with what God has given us. For our lot in life, God has been involved in it. We need to find contentment in where we are. And in order to find contentment, we're going to have to be disciplined. Paul told the Philippian brethren, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I have learned. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. I have learned how to be content when everything is falling apart. I've learned to be content when I have more than I need. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul said, I have learned, I have been disciplined enough that I have gained knowledge in how to deal with these things. We need discipline in our lives if we're going to be content. The discipline that causes us not to jump at the next greatest thing. The discipline that says, don't click that buy button right now, stop and think about it. Is that really what I need? Is that the best use of what I have? The discipline to maybe not go to the stores on Black Friday or during the Black Friday sales to buy things that we don't need. To put in places that we don't have. To use money that could be better spent somewhere else. We need discipline. That's how we find contentment. We discipline ourselves. That's where Paul says, in regards to sin, he says, I keep under my body. I keep hold of myself and bring it into subjection. Lest after teaching others, I be found to be cast away. There's some paraphrasing there, but the point is, Paul said, I discipline myself. We need to learn discipline if we want to find contentment. We need to learn trust. I think that's one of our big problems, is completely giving trust in God. Putting everything in His hands. We want to be in control. And I think that's why we're so discontent in areas of our life. because we can't have control. And so we are unsatisfied with the station or the situation that we are in. And we need to learn to discipline ourselves and put our trust in God. Job. In Job chapter 1, Job lost everything. The only thing Job had left was himself and a nagging wife. And in Job chapter 1 and verse 20, he arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped God. And later on in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, he said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Yet I will argue my ways to his face. Consider what Job says there. Job has lost everything. And what did he do? He worshiped God. Because he said, no matter what happens to me, even if God takes my life, I will trust Him. You know, that reminds me of Abraham. When God said, you know that son that I gave to you? You go offer him on an altar. You go sacrifice him to me. And Abraham gathered his stuff up together and left early in the morning to go sacrifice his son. Bound him up and laid him on the altar. Reached for or took up the knife. And went to slay him. Why? Because he trusted in God. He trusted that God, who gave him Isaac to begin with, could raise Isaac from the dead. God was going to keep his promise no matter what. All Abraham had to do was trust God. That trust included obedience to God. Now Job reminds us that doesn't mean we can't ask some questions. We can't argue our concerns. We can go to God in prayer. But if we want to find contentment and be content in our station in life, we need to trust in God. Paul trusted in God. But he questioned God three times. He said, can you take care of this thing that's bothering me? This thorn in my flesh. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay. Isaiah tells us in verse 26 and verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If we want that peace that comes with contentment, we put our trust in God. God will keep us. God will help us. Back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For, here's why you be content. For, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can go wrong that God can't fix? Now, is His fix always going to be what we think? Probably not. But He can fix it. Even if it cost us our life, He can fix it. He's already put the means in place. If we put our trust in Him, He can fix even loss of life. We can live for eternity with Him if we put our trust in Him and are obedient to Him. God keeps His promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No need to fear. We can find contentment when we learn trust. Something that puts a little bit more on me, on us, is we find contentment when we consider things. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. God has made one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. God has done both. He's been in charge of both. Whether it's good or bad, whether it we think of it as helping us or hindering us, God knows both. Neither one is the will of the other. Prosperity and adversity. When we find ourselves in prosperity, it's easy for us to rejoice, to be content. When we find ourselves in adversity, it gets difficult. So stop and consider. In fact, that's the instruction that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at Luke's account in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Jesus said to His disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Don't be anxious. Don't worry about these things. Consider the ravens. When you start to worry about these things, stop and think. The ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet, God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? In other words, when things start going down, let's stop and consider. Let's stop and think about. God's still involved. When I start getting anxious about having even daily needs, stop and consider. God provides for the birds. God provides for the flowers. He arrays them in ways that we can't. When we start getting overly concerned about the needs of this life, stop and think, even the crows, God makes sure they have enough to eat. Squirrels. I've noted to several people that I've seen more squirrels eating burdock apples this year than I have the entire time we've been here. And most of us, when we start talking about, yeah, because the nuts aren't any good. The pecans, all the other nuts, they're acorns, they're just nothing anymore. But those burdock apples are out there. And they can eat those. God has provided for them in a time of need. I don't know, burdock apples never quit, I guess. God will provide. If we want to find contentment, we need to learn to stop and think through things. Consider. In particular, consider what God has done and what God has promised He will do. God has told us there is nothing in this life that can harm us if we put our trust and our hope in Him through obedience to His Word. It means even if we lose our life, God will still take care of us if we are His. Love is another way that we can find contentment. Putting our focus upon God and loving Him and His love for us. Our love for our fellow man. Our love for our brethren. Paul told the Roman brethren, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and I sometimes hesitate to use this verse because so many misapply it. But Paul here says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." And I know there's a lot of misapplication in regards to that verse. But basically, when you look at that verse in its context, and what the Apostle Paul is saying there, is that in the end, it all works out right for those who belong to God. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with us getting what we want while we're here on earth. But it does tell us that no matter what happens to us on earth, if we belong to God, if we've answered the call and are living in accordance with His purpose, it's going to be good in the end. God will not fail in His promises. But Paul, when he writes to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, after telling us what love is, it also says love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things, and love endures all things. Endures all things. Bears all things. Contentment requires love. Love for God. It causes us to be obedient to His Word. There is no fear in love, we're told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. If we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, we can find contentment. Because as Paul said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We put our trust and our hope in God. God will help us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And so finding contentment means that we need to discipline ourselves. We need to put our trust in God. We need to consider what God has done and what He has promised to do. We need to love God, and we need to depend upon His help. That falls under the trusting as well. And we can find contentment. We need to be content. We need to learn to find joy and peace in whatever situation we are in. If for no other reason, because we're commanded to. That statement there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, that's a statement of command. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The things that come with discontent are things that are condemned by God. Murmuring and complaining. Do not grumble, as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Paul told the Corinthian brethren. Fretting and anxiety leads to evil and accomplish nothing. Look at Psalm 37. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 37, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. I actually had thoughts of using that as the text to introduce the lesson, because it deals with a lot of the things we just talked about. Don't get overly concerned about what's going on. Be happy and satisfied with where you are, as long as you are serving the Lord. Put your trust and hope in Him. Whatever we ask of God, He will give us. If we're asking in accordance with His will, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's not an open check to just ask God for anything. Because if we delight ourselves in the Lord, we're only going to be asking for things in accordance with the law of the Lord and the will of the Lord. These things lead to contentment. Fretting, being anxious over things, lead to evil and don't accomplish anything. Back to Luke chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. Can being anxious add an hour to our lifespan? if I can't do something as, and Jesus says, you can't do a smaller thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Adding an hour to my lifespan doesn't seem like a small thing to me. But Jesus says, in essence, it's nothing. Why be anxious? It doesn't accomplish anything. God is true to His promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Peter tells in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. God's promises will come true. God's plans will win out. Genesis chapter 50 is the story of Joseph and his brothers being brought back together. And his brothers were all concerned because of what they had done to Joseph. And Joseph had dealt with a lot. At this particular time, he's the second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. But up until that time, he'd been a slave. Or he'd been cast into prison. He'd been ignored. He'd been overlooked. He'd been forgotten. But what he told his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. To bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. God meant it for good. When we read that story in Genesis chapter 50, we understand. We see the overall picture that's been going on. And we see how God had used Joseph to preserve Adam or Abraham's family. They were brought into Egypt, going to be in bondage for 400 years and then be brought out with great fanfare and with miraculous and awesome deeds. And brought into the land that God had promised to Abraham, and they would become a great nation. All because of Joseph. That's what Joseph says. And Joseph, when you read that story of him, you find he was one who was content with his situation in life. He didn't necessarily like it, but he accepted where he was, and he said, I'll do the best I can for God in this situation. And he lived righteous. No matter what situation he was in. And we need to do the same. For as Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. One of the big reasons for being content with what we have is because this life is temporary. Life is only about the here and now. And we as Christians, as children of God, ought to be about the hereafter. And what we acquire here on this earth will not go with us. It's all temporary. It's all contaminated. It's all associated with evil, with unrighteousness. But our actions, the way we live our life, if we are walking in the light as He is in the light, are righteous and holy. If we are obedient to the will of God, we have been sanctified and set apart. And that will pass through to eternity. So the question for each of us, am I living in accordance with the will of God? If I am, then I can be content no matter what my station in life is. If I'm the trash guy, the garbage collector, the gutter sweeper, or the king, I can be satisfied with my lot in life because I am serving God, and that leads to greater things outside and above anything on this earth. We need to learn to be content with where we are. And set all of our hopes, all of our work, all of our desires on serving God. That's the whole point of Jesus' discourse in Matthew chapter 6. That's what the Hebrew writer is telling us there in Hebrews chapter 13. That's what Paul is telling the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 4. Put your focus on the things that matter, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is just. Focus on those things. Be content with where anything else is. Learn to live for God no matter what your station in life. And if you recognize this morning you're not living for God, we encourage you to make the changes necessary to set that right. You need to be a follower of Christ, a part of the family of God. You become a part of that family by submitting to the law of God, and that includes confessing Christ as our Savior, as the Son of God, turning away from the things of this world, even from our own desires and hopes and dreams, and giving ourselves wholly over to the Lord, being buried in baptism to have our sins washed away, to rise up that new creature. Just like Jesus rose from the grave, we rise out of the watery grave of baptism, a new creature, cleansed and whole, sanctified and set apart for the work of the Lord. And then we live our lives in accordance with the will of God. And when we come to the end of the way, we receive the great blessings He's promised to His children. We go home to be with the Father. You've taken those steps in the past and you find you've strayed. You've gotten focused on things of the world rather than the things of God. We encourage you to change that. Confess your wrongs to God. Ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. And you too. And be walking down that straight and narrow path in the light with God in Christ. Fellowship with Him. To be with Him in eternity. If we can assist you in these things, time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.